when we're spirit filled, live out the life of your Son as we live here from day to day. And yes, by doing so, to do so, we do think about our position seated in the resurrected and glorified your Son, and his human nature which is seated at your right hand today. We're thankful for these things and for the clarity of your word on them. Again, as we move into study, might we be in tune to the Spirit, might he be the one who guides our thoughts, and we'd be thankful. Amen. Okay, this morning we're going to be picking up the subject of the, it's translated mind or understanding, but it is the Greek word nous, and nous is the intellectual thinking faculty of the mind. And so it is that faculty that we use, and we've gone through this. It's you have another word we considered before this, just before this series of studies, but we looked at the dianoia, which is that which passes through the nous, through the intellectual thinking faculty of the mind, those things that go through the thoughts. And so thoughts do cross through our mind. And I'll remind ourselves again that when we look at the Christian life does, it's a mental thing. It isn't all physical, but it's in our mind. We use our minds. We have to use our heads. And so that's why we're looking at different mind terms. But what we think about, the kind of framework of mind that we have, all of these terms, they do relate to how we live, though. And so they do affect us. So it depends on where your mind is framed. Another term, where you frame your mind. And so if you frame it on things above, it gets you out of the way so that you're not focusing here on the things on earth. So it is possible that we live here on the earth, and so we're surrounded by things that distract us in our thinking. But we should frame our minds on things above. Now this morning, our study is going to take us with the nous, it's going to take us into another realm of study, and that is spiritual gifts. And so we have just a few more instances of the term nous in the New Testament, and we'll look at a passage either today or including next week. We'll come back and look at a couple of verses, about three verses, where we find the term nous four times. And it looks at the intellectual thinking faculty of the mind, but it's in a context of spiritual gifts. And so we will focus on that when we get to it. My intent was to go into that passage and just go into a few verses there. But I think to pick up the background of what he says in the verses that contain the word nous, we'll look at the background to tongue, up to tongues, like jumping ahead, but we'll look at the background of spiritual gifts just a little bit and move on into the temporary gifts, into one particular one. Well, two, we'll be looking at the temporary gift of prophecy and the gift of tongues. And so our word nous falls into a context dealing with prophecy and tongues. And so we'll be moving into that. But I just want to begin with some thoughts as we introduce the subject of tongues. Everybody, since the day of Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit, the baptizing ministry of the Holy Spirit, has a spiritual gift. And so each individual has a spiritual gift. And I say a spiritual gift. You have one gift implied, not just implied, but essentially stated in the scriptures. And so it isn't the kind of thing that you have a lot of gifts. Now, many years ago in a chapel in San Francisco, a pastor was saying that he had, I think he had developed all of the spiritual gifts except one. And that was quite a statement. And the problem was that he had developed them. And so that's not what spiritual gifts are. Spiritual gifts are supernatural abilities that are God-given by the Holy Spirit. And so they are spiritual gifts. And so they're not, it isn't human ability. And so you may have an outstanding human ability in some area, but that doesn't indicate it's your spiritual gift. Your spiritual gift is not dependent upon your human capacity and your human ability. And we all have human abilities. Now, someone may have the gift of gab. That isn't a biblical gift. But he may have the gift of gab, and he talks. They can talk real well, and they can keep you enthralled and keep you all entertained with what they say. And I know sometimes there are pastors who are entertaining, and they don't really teach a whole lot. But they can speak well, and they can hold your attention, and but they may or may not have the gift of pastor teacher. They may not. And so it's just the gift of gab. Some people can speak well. Well, that's a natural thing with them, but the spiritual gift is a supernatural ability. And sometimes and oftentimes God chooses those who do not speak well. They don't have the gift of gab, and he will choose people who are not real entertaining. He may choose people who don't really like to get up and speak. And that happens. I will say this as again, I will insert an illustration from Dr. Schaefer. Used to say, I heard him say it more than one occasion. During the war, he was an aircraft craftsman during World War II, and he was designing aircraft for the war. And he said that he was content doing that. He'd like to spend the rest of his days doing that. In fact, that was one of his hobbies, was to pursue aircraft and read up on aircraft and the latest things on them. But he said he had no desire to get up and speak to somebody. And so he didn't have that wasn't his aim. Wasn't something he wanted to do. But he was saved at the time, but he hadn't grown. And when he, I won't go into the story there, but anyway, he found out that he could speak, and and God could use him. And so he went to Bible Institute, and from there he went to Dallas, and then he ended up finishing his college degree up in Eugene, and then he went back down to Dallas, got his doctorate, and taught. But it was not something that he really wanted to do necessarily, but it was his spiritual gift, and there's no doubt about it that it was his spiritual gift. Well, it isn't a natural ability though, and it wasn't something that came natural, but it was something that was God had prepared for him to minister in that way. And so he did have a pastor teacher gift, and so he did hone his gift and used it. Well, that's kind of what it is, but each one, you just have one gift, and it is a supernatural ability. And so it isn't something that you like to do, something you should like to do it. And usually you do have a leaning towards doing something. Somebody with a pastor teacher gift will have a desire to study and to learn the Word of God. They'll have kind of a craving to do so. They will put the pain and the effort into it. They will learn to use it if they do it properly. And so they do put a lot of work into it. But each one of us, as a result of spirit baptism, does have a spiritual gift. And that spiritual gift is something that's to be used for the benefit of the body of Christ. It's not for our benefit. We'll look at some of those verses in a little bit here. It is something supernatural, though, something that's not normal with you. And so it is something that you can use, something you can do. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't do anything else besides your gift. So we don't want to get the idea, well, I can only do this. I can only do something because this one thing, because I'm gifted here. Doesn't mean you can't do anything else. Because you can, in the norm, do different things. And so just out of the normal functions of life, you can do things. And so you might have somebody who can do menial tasks well, but it's a supernatural thing. They're able to help people in doing things, and so you would have people with gifted in that way. You have some people who can encourage other believers. They can do it, and they don't have the but they don't have the gift of exhortation, or they don't encourage people within a supernatural ability. But we can all do that. And we can all help. We can all step in and do things. We can all do that in the realm of the norm. When it comes to giving, you don't have to have the gift of giving to give. And we all have that opportunity and the potential when we can give. And it's something that is not dependent upon your gift. It's just that if you do have the gift of giving, you can give more and you can give to a point and it will, well, it may hurt some, but it doesn't affect you the way that it would somebody who, without the gift. And so that kind of thing. Well, everybody can share the gospel, but there are some who have the gift of evangelism. And so this is something not, but everybody can bear a witness. You can be a witness. And when you have the opportunity, you can share the gospel. But then if you have the gift of evangelism, you will be able to take the opportunities. You'll see the opportunities, and God will use you in sharing the gospel with people, and you will have more effects than someone without the gift. But we can all share the gospel, but we can all give a witness by our life. We can live a testimony before the unsaved, and they may come to us and ask us what the difference is in us. Well, we can all do that, but some have the spiritual gift. Knew a man many years ago, who had the gift of evangelism. He could be driving down the big boulevard, and he would see some people at a bus stop, maybe three, four, five people, and he'd just feel led to pull over and go back and talk to them. So he's just driving down a big boulevard, pulls over, goes back to a bus stop, and start sharing the gospel with people. And by the time he leaves, he led three or four people, whatever, that led them to the Lord. And the rest of us, well, we gave him the gospel. But that was his gift, and he could do that. And so it was just it is a unique gift. And so he was always doing that. He'd lead somebody to the Lord and bring them to church. Well, that was a good thing to do. Couldn't take them on in their Christian life very far, but he did have the gift of evangelism. And so it was kind of unique. Now, you get down to it. They're not going through all of the gifts, but come back to, we can all teach. We can all teach something. And so as you mature and the more that you grow, and the more that you know of the Word of God and the basic things of the Scriptures, we all should be able to teach somebody in the basics of the Christian life and the basics of Christianity, going back into some of the basic things. Anybody can do that, but they won't be able to teach it like a teacher or pastor teacher gift. But anybody can do it. And so I'm just saying that you have a gift, you use it. Now, how do you know what your gift is? Well, again, I've had friends in the past, and I've had good friends, personal friends, who they would do things, but they didn't want a particular gift. And I have a couple of friends that did not want to be pastors. They did not want to hold the office of bishop. And so they did not have the pastor teacher gift. And so that's what they would, and so they were very adamant they didn't have that gift. But yet when they did something, that was one realm in which they really did well. And they did above what they normally would have done. What a normal person could do, they could teach. And that reminds me that Lewis Berry Chafer, heard him on tape say that he was teaching at Mount Hermon School for Boys back in Massachusetts, the old Moody School. And as he taught there, C.I. Schofield was the head of the school and pastor of the church there. And he told him, and Chafer had started out as gospel singer. He was an evangelistic singer, but he got a job teaching there in the off season or something. And so anyway, Schofield called him aside and told him, Jaffer, if you knew anything, you could teach him. Well, it's obvious that he could teach, and he could teach the scriptures. He could teach the word of God. It was obvious that he had a spiritual gift. It wasn't something that was just out of the norm with him, but he could teach it. And so these are just some things looking at spiritual gifts. So as we look at spiritual gifts, you can excel in some area, but it's not you doing so, not you doing it yourself, but it is a supernatural ability that's been bestowed upon you by the Holy Spirit. And it's something that with God's enablement by the Holy Spirit, you can do something that goes beyond the normal ability. And so that is something that you would see in your life. And so the only way you can tell what your spiritual gift is to be active. When you're with Christians, you need to be active. And when whatever you do, eventually, you should see it yourself. You may see it, and others will see it, just as in Lewis Berry Chafer. And others, you may see it. Somebody will see it, and you'll be able to teach or you'll give in excess of what others would do, or you will do whatever your gift is. But anyway, it's something that you won't learn your gift if you sit on your haunches and don't do anything. You can't learn what your gift is if you don't do something, if you're not active in Christian work. Well, when you come down to spiritual gifts now. In the scripture, there are three passages where you do find spiritual gifts referred to specifically. And the first one is Romans chapter 12. And so in Romans chapter 12, you do find a reference to spiritual gifts. Not the only place you find spiritual gifts, but this is a place that gives you listings of spiritual gifts. The second place I would go through in the order of the way our Bibles are laid out. I would take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and over through 14. But 12 through 14 does deal with gifts. 12 in particular refers to gifts, but you also have them references in over through chapter 14. The next place that we would go to would be 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. And there it does say that each individual has received a spiritual gift, a grace gift. And so everyone has a gift. Now, as Paul and the other writers of scripture, the other apostles and writers in the New Testament era, when they wrote, at a time which was in transition. And so the transition was moving from law to grace. And so they were moving out of the Old Testament law, which was true up until Christ completed his cross work. And they were no longer under law. But the Jews, they still tried to foist the law up on people, but things changed under grace. And so the change was slow to come in some places, oftentimes. But at the beginning of the church, there were some gifts, and these were spiritual gifts that were for that time and for that time only. And so they were temporary gifts. There are nine gifts of the Spirit, but there are nine that are temporary gifts. And they're not extant today. There's no need for them today. And we'll notice that when we get into our study. Not sure if we'll get there today or next week. That's where we stop. But anyway, you do have temporary gifts as well as permanent gifts. And so I listed a few of the permanent gifts in our introduction so far. But then I'm not planning to go through lists of the spiritual gifts. We're not going to cover the whole subject of spiritual gifts, but it is something that we should be aware of And to know the gifts that are available, you should know what they are and be able to distinguish them from the temporary gifts. And so there were gifts that were temporary that were only needed as the Word of God was growing. And when I say the Word of God was growing, more and more was being written. But when it was completed, there was no need for those temporary gifts. Some were supportive of the message. Some gave testimony to the reality of that message. And so some gifts did that. Some gave revelation. And so you had revelatory gifts or gifts that would support the revelation that was given. And so you had different kinds of gifts that at that time. But those gifts didn't all continue on. And so some of them died out. Now there are two words that do describe that are used of spiritual gifts. And the first one is pneumatikos, and it occurs 25 times, but 3 times out of 25 times it's used of spiritual gifts. And the other word is charisma, and so charis, grace, and charisma, the result of an act of giving something by grace, a provision by grace, and so it is a grace gift. But they're spiritual gifts, they're spiritual grace gifts as they're given. And it occurs only 17 times, but it's quite a few. But then at 11 times it is used of spiritual gifts. And the place that you will find it used of spiritual gifts is when you get into the passages that we're referring to. But you have a lot of them occurrences when you get into the book of 1 Corinthians, though. And so our study is going to spend, we're going to, this morning I'm going to go back and not do what I intended to do, but we're going to spend some time looking at the different passages. I do want to go back to Romans chapter 1 to start with, looking at the name spiritual gift. And so when you look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 11, and Paul intends to come to Rome, and he wants to have a prosperous journey to them, a good journey. When it's God's desirous will that he comes in verse 10. But in verse 11, he explains, "For I long to see you." And so he has this longing, this yearning, and that's the meaning of the word here. It's different than strong desire, but this is that yearning you get in your stomach. That yearning for something, longing for something, when you haven't seen a family member or somebody for a long time, you sometimes have that kind of a feeling in the pit of your stomach. And so he has this, he says, "For I have this longing, this yearning, but what he's yearning to do is to see you." And so the object of his yearning is to see you Roman saints. And so he wants to see y'all, and that's a plural, it's not just, and so he wants to see them all, that I may impart, he wants to give them something, impart something unto you, but what he wants to impart is some spiritual gift. The word spiritual here is pneumatikos. Pneumatikos, the ending on pneum, comes from pneuma, spirit. The akos ending means that which pertains to the spirit or emanates from the spirit. So this would be a gift that emanates from the Spirit. It comes from the Spirit, but it's also a gift, it says, and that's a charisma, a grace gift. And so you find the two terms together in this verse. Now he's not saying that he wants to give the individuals another gift. It only happened one time with Timothy. But when you look back here, he says that he wants to give one to the congregation. And I will just suggest that they were lacking one spiritual gift in that church in Rome. Now, he hasn't been to Rome, but he knows most of the Roman saints in the church there from other places. And some of the names there, gives a long list of names back in chapter 16. And so he does know these people. He knows, and I'm sure he's aware of the spiritual gifts of these people. And so is he, but he wants to impart a gift to them that was lacking. And it's very probable and possible that it was a gift of evangelism. This was not a mega church. This was a little church and maybe not much bigger than the names and the households that are listed in the back of the book. But when you come down here, he wants to impart this gift to them, a spiritual gift to them. And he says some spiritual gift, so it's something, not a bunch of them, but one, to the end that you may be established, so that they may be established, that they may be firmed up in the ministry that they have there. Now he wants to impart a gift to them. How is he going to do that? It doesn't say anything about laying on of hands or something, but if he got there, as an apostle, he could do that. He did that on one occasion, but as we come into the book, if he does impart some gift, it may be just by leading somebody with that gift to Christ, leading somebody to Christ who will have that gift. He doesn't specify, but that's a potential. But that's the one place where you do find pneumaticos and charisma used together as spiritual gifts. And so again, every believer does have a spiritual gift though. And so if you're a believer, you have a spiritual gift. And so it's something for you to work on and to figure out what your gift is. And you can see what you can do beyond what is the norm for you. And you can figure it out. Others can help you with that as well. But there are some gifts though, and there's one gift that, well, a couple of gifts we'll be looking at in our study this week and next. But when you consider these are gifts that nobody has today. And so there are some gifts that nobody has. They're not available today. And so that does come down to the gift of languages, the gift of tongues. And so we're going to take a moment and look at the gift of tongues. That's where we're headed, because it's within the description of the gift of tongues, the gift of languages, that we will see our word nous four times. And so we will come to that eventually. Don't know that I'll get there today. I think we'll just go ahead and just kind of introduce the subject of spiritual gift and a little bit gifts and tongues and such as we move into the context. Actually, when we get to chapter 14, he's dealing with the value of prophecy over tongues. And so prophecy, it's something that will edify, it will build saints up. You can understand what's being said. The gift of tongues, well, that wasn't understood because these were languages, but they were languages that were not known. Let's go back before I move on from there, just to look at languages since I introduced it here. Let's go back to Acts chapter 2. And when the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles and those in the upper room, at least the apostles, as the Holy Spirit came upon them and they were filled with a mental filling, simply me by the Holy Spirit, at that time they began to speak in verse 4, and they began to speak with other tongues in other languages. And so just notice the word tongues is, it can be used, and we'll notice how many times it does occur eventually here, but it occurs quite a few times. Sometimes it's used, though oftentimes it is used of languages, and other times it is used of the tongue. In fact, when we get into chapter 14, we'll see it used once of the tongue, what you say with the tongue. But the rest of the context is all dealing with languages. They always translate it unknown languages. You don't really need the unknown. It's just they spoke in languages. They weren't unknown. And so it wasn't just a Holy Spirit language or something that was not understandable, but these were languages, and that's what the term glossa meant. It dealt with languages, and so they were filled with this mental filling by the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with different tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so the Spirit enabled them. He gave them the utterance to speak these things. And so within Jerusalem at this time, it was a feast day, feast period, and you had lots of Jews from all over who came in from all over the whole empire for the feast. And they came from all sorts of areas. I won't read where they came from, but you can read it in verses 9 down through 11. They came from all over, Jews and proselytes coming to the feast. And yet when you go back and read, we'll pick up in verse 6. We'll go on. Now when this was noised abroad, that they were speaking in these languages, the multitude came together and were confounded because that each man heard them speak in his own tongue, in his own language. It's translated. It is his own language, but it's the word close, a tongue. And so they all spoke, and they were all amazed, verse 7, and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear ye every man in his very own tongue? And so there they translated a tongue, same word translated language in the previous verse. But they heard them speaking in their very own tongue, their very own language. And so these were understandable languages someplace, but it just was not known by the ones who were speaking. And the rest of the crowd didn't hear them, but they spoke in all kinds of languages. And verses 9 through 11 do go on and describe all of these things. Well, that's just the illustration. This was when they first spoke in tongues. And these were, I think, they were the apostles at least. And it seems that it was the apostles, but the ones who were in the upper room at that point, they spoke in different languages. And so these were languages they didn't study, languages they didn't know, but yet they were able to speak in those things, and they were able to give a message concerning these things. Well, when we come to tongues then, we do find different listings of them. And I guess it wouldn't hurt just to, by way of review, I know that some of this was touched in one of the recent morning messages on early on katargeo, to render inoperative, to put out of business. And so we come here, the only reason I'm here now is because I'm running down on the passages using nous. And so we come into spiritual gifts. And so I want to just take a look at these things and give a little background as to what Paul was saying when he used the word nous, though. Now, in Romans chapter 12, let's just take a moment and look at this key verses dealing with spiritual gifts. And I'll begin in verse 3, and we'll just run down through the verses, going down through verse 8. And as we go through this, he says, for I say through the grace given unto me to eat to every man that is among you, that everyone among you, he says, not to think of himself, not to have a framework of mind above what it ought to be, more highly than he ought to think, more highly than it's necessary for him to reflectively think. But rather, he uses a strong adversative conjunction, but rather, how is he to think of himself? It says, think soberly. In other words, he's to frame his mind. He's to think soberly on with a saved mind. And soberly is just to have a saved, reflective thinking. And so he is to have that kind of a thinking. But it's according as God hath dealt to every man. And this word every is a term that does deal with the individual. So every means everybody. But when it says hakastos here, this word means each one individual. And so he's dealt individually to each individual man the measure of faith. And so each one has a measure of faith. Okay, so we all do have a measure of faith. We had faith when we were saved, when we believed the gospel. That was initial faith. But this is a faith that was given to believers when it comes down to the functioning and use of your spiritual gift. How do you use your spiritual gift? There's also a gift of faith, but that's just introducing here. But he goes on in verse 4. For just as we have many members in one body, and so he's using the physical body as an illustration, and all members have not the same office. Now, the word office here is the word praso, which means practice. We probably get our word practice from praso. And so everybody doesn't have the same practice. Every member of your body doesn't have the same practice. And so you use your different limbs and things for different things. Everything has a function, and it has its own function. And so you all don't have the same practice, and so it is with, but he is going to go on and describe this further. He says, in the same way, when it says so here, it's an adverb, but in the same manner, the same way, he says, we, the many, basically being many, but it just says, we, the many, are one body in Christ. So he is speaking of the unity of the church, the body of Christ. And so this is the body of Christ. You'll get to that over in chapter 12 of the 1 Corinthians as well. And so most of us are well aware of. But anyway, but we're one body, many members. And so we don't have the same practice. We don't practice. We don't have the same function. And that's because there are different gifts. And everyone is members of one another, members one of another. And so we are members of one body. So he's going back to the body of Christ, just as the physical body is one and has many members. The body of Christ is one body, but yet it has many members, one body. He repeats that over in 12:12, the 1 Corinthians, in a different way. But now he comes down to his subject here. We're all part of the body of Christ by spirit baptism, 1 Corinthians 12:13. Again, we'll get there. But anyway, he says, having then charisma, having gifts, having grace gifts. But notice they're differing according to the grace that is given, the one having been given to us. And so you have different gifts, gifts that are different. They're not the same. Some have the same gift, but he's referring to the gifts. They're all different. So whatever your gift is, they're not all the same. And so he goes on and he's going to speak of some of these gifts. He says, whether prophecy, they supply here, and probably you need something here on ellipsis, but it says, let us prophesy. So if your gift is prophecy, well, you prophesy. Now remember, this is, Paul is writing still during the transitional period. So there were still those who were prophets. And then we'll look at that a little later. But he says, but you prophesy according to, measured by the standard of the proportion of faith. So we all have faith. You can prophesy according to that. And this is the analogy of faith, is the word analogy from proportion, or moving on. It says ministry, diakonia, like the word deacon, except this is the dealing with a spiritual gift that is one of serving. And so this is serving one another. Let us wait on our ministering, our serving. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. So you do have some that are just teachers. They are teachers. They are able to communicate and to teach. So he needs to focus on his teaching. Or he that exhorteth. And so here you have parakaleo, the exhortation gift, on exhortation. So you need to focus on exhorting if that's your gift. He that giveth, let him do so with simplicity. And so he's not to make a scene about it, but he needs to give that this is the gift of giving. And so it is, again, another gift. He that ruleth, and this will get into the administration kind of things, but ruleth with diligence with eagerness. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And so that's his list that he gives. Then he goes on to tell how you can use your gift, the atmosphere in which you can use your gift in love. And as he goes down through moving on in the context. But you notice we all don't have the same practice, and that's the thing to point out here. There are different gifts. He doesn't give a complete listing of gifts. Some of these are permanent gifts, some are not. Some are temporary. Now we move on over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And as we come into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we will pick up the context here again as Paul moves through things. And he's leading into a major section dealing with spiritual gifts. And when we move into this, when he gets down into the context, we'll just go on down to verse 13 on the 2 Corinthians. I wonder if I can get my notes, verse 12 and 13, but wanted some before that. Okay, chapter 12, and I'm going to pick up earlier, and this will give us something again, a background with spiritual gifts. And so I'm going to go back up to verse 4, and we're just going to look at this. He says, now notice, you're going to see the word, you have the word diversities, differences, and you have several words, and then you have a divided. All of those come from a word meaning just that, mean diversities or differences. And so there are differences, and that's the point he makes right there. But in verse 4, he says, now there are diversities, there are differences of gifts, and so of charisma, of grace gifts, but the same Spirit. And so the same Spirit is the one who imparts gifts. He continues on, and there are diversities, we could say. We could have said differences as they translated here, but diversities of administrations. The word administration here is the word diakonia, that is different services, but the same Lord. And so the same Lord, we belong to the body of Christ. He's the same Master, but there's one Spirit. And he goes on, and there are diversities, differences again, in operations. And so you can see here, this operations, this is when energy is expended. And so this would be different workings, different energizings that come, we get our word energy from it, but it is the same God that energizes, worketh. We get our word energy from it, but he worketh all things in all ways. You have two genders there. But you have differences, but yet it's the same, you actually have the Godhead here. You have Spirit, Lord, and God all involved with these, but if they're spiritual gifts, and they are gifts imparted by the Spirit, but the Godhead is involved with these supernatural abilities that are imparted to believers. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit. And so you see it's the Spirit who's being manifested. It says it's given. And so it's given to each one. It says every man here goes to that little term, ekastos, which is each individual. And so it's given to each individual. But notice it says to profit with all. And really it's something that's it's a co-profiting thing here. As it's described, but then he goes on, verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit, and so see the Spirit is the one who is the instrument that gives the word of wisdom to another of the same kind. The word, and these are logos here, emphasizing the content that is given, but it's to another word of knowledge, gnosis, experiential knowledge measured by the same Spirit. So it says But it's measured by the same Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who imparts these all the way through here. Now verse 9, to another. And this is interesting because he changes from allos, which is another of the same kind, changes to heteros, to another of a different kind. He says faith. But this is looking at spiritual gift of faith. And so this is by the same Spirit. To another of the same kind, allos, the charisma, and now you have it in the plural, the grace gifts here, the grace gifts of healings, plural, by the same Spirit. And so there was a gift of healing. Now this is again a temporary gift. I'm not saying whether they're temporary or permanent as we go through always, but to another of the same kind, the working, the energizing, of miracles. The word miracles, dunamis, is powers, but it is used of miracles. And so it is again, so there are different gifts that were given, different things, different functions in the body. And so working of miracles, to another of the same kind, prophecy, to another of the same kind, discerning of spirits, and then to another of a different kind. Twice we have heteros, different kind here, different kinds of tongues. And so the kinds here, it's these are different kinds of tongues, though. and so the comes down to tongues now towards the end. And then to another of the same kind, though, of as the heteros one, he says it's a the interpretation of tongues. And so you get down to the interpretation. Those two gifts should function together. But all these worketh that one and the self-same, and you could say the Spirit himself. It's the same Spirit, though. And what he does here, it says dividing, he's making differences. As we saw with diversities and differences, a participle here, to each man. Again, it's individual, hypostasis, to each individual man. And it says severally. The word severally, you've heard this word here before, and we pointed out it's idios. And so he gets a gift. Each individual has one that's his very own unique to him. It's a unique kind of gift. Some do give the idea of severally, as some lexicons will throw that in on this verse, but it is his very own. And so each man has his very own, his very own gift. And then he says, just as he, that is God, determines, so the Holy Spirit determines, as the Holy Spirit would be the antecedent to he. But when it says, as he will, he determines it. And so we'll see later on in context that it's defined fellow as he desires. But here he gives each one according to his determination. So these are sovereignly bestowed gifts that the Holy Spirit bestows upon each one. Then he goes into, for just as the body is one, and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one. Yet what are they? They're one body. And so he uses the physical body as illustration here, as he did in Romans 12. But here he says, in like manner also, and that's the way I translate the so. It's an adverb of manner, but he says, in like manner also is the Christ. And there should be an article here. He is defining the Christ. And the Christ is one body, many members. Christ the head. Now we've been through this here often. And then he goes on to describe how you get the gift, though, when you get it. It comes from the Spirit. But if you notice, he says, for by one Spirit were we all baptized or immersed into one body, the body of Christ. Whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink one Spirit, not to drink in drink into one spirit, just to drink one spirit. And so as you consider this, God doesn't see distinctions in the body, but in the body there are differences, though, in gifts, that there are no racial distinctions, there are no social distinctions. He adds some more to it over in Galatians 3, about verse 27 or 27. Anyway, but anyway, you have these things. One body, many members, but all have a different function. And so that's what he moves on to describe here. 14 goes on, for the body is not one member, but many. And so your physical body, it's made up not just one member, it's one body, but it has a lot of different members. So it has different members of the body that function in different ways. Well, that's just the way the body of Christ is. It has many members, individual members made up of believers who are immersed into Christ and in the body of Christ. There the Holy Spirit has given us spiritual gifts. Each one has a spiritual gift. Each one has a function, a realm in which he can function above the norm. And so he can function in a way that does go beyond what his natural abilities would be. So these are supernaturally given and supernatural abilities that are given to believers by the Holy Spirit. And so we see that as we move through here. He goes on to illustrate further with the physical body, as he says, for the body is one, and verse 14, but he says, if a foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not out from the body, and so forth. You go on down through here, he's comparing the different members of your physical body. You're all part of the body. You all have a function in the body. And so you all have, and so I do want to pick up in verse 18. But now hath God, he's set the members, he's put the members, each one again, and that's the castos, each one, each individual of them in the body. And how did he do it? Well, we saw he determined each one had the gift that God, the Holy Spirit, determined. But here, as it hath pleased him, it says, as he desirously willed. The word pleased here is thelo. And so it's as he desirously willed, as he wanted it. So he made a determination out of his wants, but that's where each member of the body fits in. And so there's some more things. He goes on down through this quite, some more descriptions in that way. I will point out though, when he says that, well, I'm going to run out of time. So let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. 1 Peter 4:10 is the other place where we come to some descriptions of the body of Christ and the and gifts. And so he's dealing with gifts over here. And so 4:10, and here again he comes back to this little pronoun hekastos. And so he says, just as, or even as, each man. And so it looks at the individual, and so it's not just everybody, but he individualizes it with this particular form. He says, each man, each one hath received, and it doesn't say the gift. It's not a specific gift here. It doesn't have the definite article the before it. And it is, and when it doesn't have the article, it emphasizes character or quality of something. And so he says, each one hath received a character or quality of a charisma. And so you're back to the charisma, a grace gift. So each one has received a grace gift. He says, even so, minister. And so you can do this. This is not the spiritual gift of ministry, diakonia, but you serve. But to serve the same one to another. And so each one has a gift, and so you're to serve each one. And so it says you serve the same one to another. It's a reflexive thing. As a good, and when he says ask good stewards, it's similar to good stewards. He isn't calling you stewards, but he says similar to a good steward of a manifold grace from God. And that's your grace gift. If any man speaketh, let him speak as the oracles, the little sayings of God, if any man ministers the diakoneo, if he serves, let him do it as of the ability, and this is the strength which God gives. God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom is the glory and the dominion, the might, he says, into the ages, literally into the ages, from the ages. Amen. I believe it. And so that kind of covers down, each one has a gift. And so it's an individual thing. Each one of us has a spiritual gift. Now, we don't have gifts that are not named in the Bible, but we have one of the spiritual gifts that is listed and those that are extant today. And we will spend more time next time looking at some of the gifts that were temporary, and there was no need for them any longer, as they were either revelatory or gave support to the revelation, to the things that were being made known, and so that they were from God. Okay, we better stop with this. I didn't get far. Father, we're thankful again for your word and for grace. We're thankful that we do each one have a grace gift. Again, as we have spiritual gifts, again, might we use those abilities that are supernatural, that are not really something that we're really good at on our own, but yet it's something that we can do, and each one we can minister one to another. And it is for the benefit of the whole body, not for our personal benefit, but for the whole body. And as we do so, that you do get the glory, and we're grateful for that. And so again, we're just thankful for grace. Amen.